Time Magazine's choice for Man of the Year in 2009 is Ben Bernanke. And I can almost expect a reaction, who? Well, he's not exactly a household name, not internationally. He is the chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve. That would be the counterpart of our central bank. Bernanke is credited with having stemmed the worst tide of the financial recession last year with very good leadership and very skillful steps in financial management. Before his present position, Ben Bernanke was economics professor in Princeton University, and he is known for his scholarly research on the Great Depression that struck the U.S. in the late 1920s and early 30s. And lo and behold, what better preparation did he have than to study that Great Depression and become the manager of the Federal Reserve at the time of what is now considered the greatest depression since the depression of the 20s and the 30s. His colleagues and admirers consider him a genius in matters of the economy and finance. Well, you know, we could make use of such genius in the matter of financial management, in matters of church money, but we don't need to. The fact is that churches are rarely equipped with such economic genius, and we do not need one. Hindi natin kailangan ng isang henyo sa ekonomiya, henyo sa financial management. Rather, the church is so arranged by God that we are dependent on the collective wisdom of God's people in this stewardship. Nakita natin yan kanina sa ating pagpaplano, pagtatalakay ng pananalapi ng iglesia. No one probably would claim to be a genius in economics or financial management, but we do have our collective wisdom. Pinagsasama-sama natin yung ating karunungan, karanasan, upang makapagpasya sa mga bagay ng ating pananalapi. And indeed, we are now in the period of our church cycle when we address our responsibility of stewardship. We take it seriously because ultimately what is involved here is our responsibility for the kingdom. Ang nakasalalay dito ay pananagutan natin sa kaharian ng Diyos, hindi korporasyon ng iglesia in the sense of a profit corporation na ang hangad natin ay tumubo, kumita, magpayaman. Ang gusto lamang natin ay gamitin ang mga ipinagkakatiwala sa atin ng Panginoon sa paraang marunong at makapupuri sa kanyang pangalan, makapagtataguyod ng ministeryo ng kanyang salita. And in touching financial matters in the church, we must ever be careful not to reduce it to a venture for profit. Our decisions are not to be made on the basis of profitability. And ultimately, it comes back to our attitude to giving. And this is the time of the year when we address it. And I'm using incidents in the scriptures that give us exemplary images of what giving should be like. Tinitingnan natin ang mga tagpo sa Biblia na nagbibigay ng mabuting huwaran ng ano ang dapat na diwa ng pagbibigay. Nung nakaraan, nakita natin kay David yung diwa ng pagbibigay na handang gumugol. Giving that costs is one thing that we can emulate. Giving that is ready to spend. When David said, "I will give nothing to the Lord that does not cost me anything," that is a good resolve for us to give in the year 2010. Well, we have another one this afternoon. I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me. It was asked of you to read this before. Sana nagawa ng nakararami sa atin. So we'll just look at the summaries of this in Genesis 13. Turn to Genesis 13. Let's read verses 8 to 13. Towards the end of the story where there was a conflict and tension between Abraham and his nephew Lot. Genesis 13, 8 to 13. "So Abraham said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. like the garden of the Lord, like land of Egypt, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And what happened after this, as you know, is that the king of Sodom, plus Lot, of course, who was dwelling there, was invaded by another army. At sila ngayon ay tinangay, and Abraham came to the rescue. Let's now jump to chapter 14, verses 18 to 24. Chapter 14, 18 to 24. Then Melchizedek, let's begin with verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and gave him a tithe of all." Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich,' except only when the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." Well, just for a concluding text, jump to the New Testament, 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. 1 Timothy, the letter of Paul, first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 6. Let's read verses 17 to 19. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Now, this episode prepares us for some incidents in biblical history which are significant. Most importantly, Sodom and Gomorrah. Inihanda tayo sa mga pangyayari na napakahalaga, and it is a good thing indeed that we have an example of this very early in the biblical narrative. Dito rin natin makikita sa talatang binasa natin the first time that the word tithe is mentioned in the Bible. Then you have the character of Melchizedek, which becomes very important in the argument of the writer of Hebrews. So even though it may seem to some to be obscure, an obscure passage, not so well known, it actually is important. Important to biblical history, important to New Testament theology, important even to a matter that pertains to giving. And I want to draw a message in this way. Grateful giving shares proportionate to God's blessings. Grateful giving shares proportionate to God's blessing. Ang napapagpasalamat na pagbibigay ay nagbabahagi ayon sa bahagdan ng pagpapala ng Diyos. If you are grateful when you give, your giving will share. And when is it sharing? Sharing is when it is proportionate to the way you are blessed. This is a principle that we find corroborated in memorable statements of the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. Prinsipyo ito, itong pagbabahagi ayon sa pagpapala sa atin ng Diyos. Lumang tipan, bagong tipan, may mga napakagagandang mga memory verses na nagpapatunay na ito'y prinsipyong dapat na ipamuhay natin. And we have this very early in this episode of the Bible. And when I said exemplary giving, it means something that we can emulate. Last week, we said giving that costs. And giving that costs is that which considers your capacity. Giving that shares, which is our consideration this afternoon, is that which considers others' necessity. And both are to be in consideration. sa alang-alang natin, paano ako magbibigay? Dapat tayong magbigay na tinitingnan natin yung ating kakayahan. Ako ba'y talagang gumugugol? At pag tayo nagbibigay, magbibigay tayo ng ayon sa pagpapala sa atin ng Diyos at sa pangangailangang nakikita natin, tayo ay dapat na makibahagi. Giving that shares pertains to the recipients of your giving, the users of your giving, the ministry, the people with needs, sharing with them the blessings of God. And may I suggest that if we are giving in a way that shares, three things should be true of our giving. First, it will be contrary to selfish possession. Contrary to selfish possession. Ito ay salungat sa makasariling paghawak o pag-aari. Ikalawa, it will be consistent with tithing proportion. Ito ay angkop sa bahagda ng ating ikapu, consistent with tithing proportion. And thirdly, it will be confident in divine provision. Ito may kumpiyansa sa provision ng Panginoon. So first of all then, if our giving is a giving that shares, first, it will be contrary to selfish possession. The attitude of Abraham here is deliberately put in contrast with that of Lot. Pinagsalungat dito yung saloobin, yung damdamin ni Abraham doon sa damdamin at saloobin ni Lot. When strife arose between their herdsmen, separation seemed to be the wise course. And Abraham gave to Lot the first choice. Now, you know, kung isipin natin, Abraham being the uncle and Lot the nephew, Abraham could have demanded the first choice. In fact, out of respect, Lot should have given the first choice to him. Well, we don't find that concession on the part of Lot. Instead, it was Abraham who conceded. On the other hand, what do we see in the attitude of Lot? It would reveal the covetousness that dictated his choice. He looked around and tried to imagine what he was trying to see. He was making an assessment. An assessment of what would be a good dwelling, saan ba mabuting manahanan. At nakita niya ang well-watered plains of Jordan. And the narrator noted, this was the time before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah at this point already were reputed for wickedness. And yet, the choice of Lot was nothing more than that it was plain, that the plain was well watered, good for business. And that's all that dictated the decision of Lot. And it is something we learn. A selfish perspective measures life predominantly by possession. Yung makasariling pananaw, sinusukat ang buhay sa pananaw lang ng pag-aari, ng mga pakinabang na material. Possession may mean material condition, income, salary, profit. And all that Lot saw in making a decision was that it would be good for his flock. It would mean bounty. And obviously, he did not factor in what the narrator noted. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. It did not come into his consideration. Hindi niya isinaalang-alang yung kasamaan ng mga tao doon sa Sodom. Ang nakita lang niya ay matubig doon sa lugar, mabuti para sa kanyang kawan, mabuti para sa kanyang mga inaasahang kita. At yun ang sapat na para sa kanya yun, at ganun ang pagkamakasarili. That's what covetousness is. He looks at things and what becomes a factor, a concluding factor, is good for business. What you see here is the fact that covetousness is not a modern problem. It is as ancient as the fall of Eden. And here it is demonstrated. Lot did not think of the temptation Sodom would prove to be, the exposure that he would give, that he would threaten his family with. What is well-watered plain for Lot may for us be well-paying job. A place with promotion potentials, easy income. And that which he did not factor in, that the men there were wicked, may for us mean that work will demand the use of trickery and lie. Or it may have no time or place for church. It may be a work away from the family, etc. But sadly, as in Lot, the economic consideration seems to be always the conclusive factor. For some, the only factor. Lot projected a bounty coming from having well-watered plains, good business, money. But what did it do to him and to his family? Even the narrative has dark hints of this. Kung babasahin mo yung kwento tungkol kay Lot sa panahon na siya'y namalagi dito, hindi maganda. On the occasion that the angels visited, and when the men of Sodom, overcome by lust, wanted to have these men, who of course were angels, what did Lot do? He went down to their perverted level, offering his own daughters. And obviously, from what happened, we can tell his wife did not have the heart to leave. She has gotten too rooted in Sodom. And in fact, we are told in the story when at last Lot was trying to plead with his sons-in-law, let us now leave Sodom because it is up for judgment. You know what the story tells us? 19 verse 14, he sounded like he was joking. Ayun ang sabi ni Moses, the writer of Genesis. Nung kinukumbinsin na niya, umalis na tayo. Ito'y hahatulan ng Diyos. Ngunit yung kanyang pananalita ay para na lang pagbibiro para sa kanyang mga sons-in-law. And you wonder, when did it begin? When did it begin for Lot? When probably family worship was set aside. You can almost, your guess is as good as mine. One night coming from work, it must have been too tired, and he found an excuse. You wonder, when did spiritual talk that I'm sure once family conversation was full off? Pinag-uusapan nila ang Diyos, pinag-uusapan nila mga turo, pinag-uusapan nila ang mga bagay na espiritual at makalangit. Ngunit sa kanyang pagkalulong sa gawain, you wonder, when did it begin that the transition from one's spiritual talk became talk about spending, sales and shopping, and purchase needs? It all becomes about work and business. And you see, when for once, he was again dead serious about spiritual things, he sounded like a joker. Eh, nangyayari iyon. Kapag masyadong nalulong sa mga bagay na material, and you try to make a comeback, and when at last judgment was to be fall on Sodom, Lot himself had to be dragged. He too became so rooted in Sodom because of business. And we need to ask ourselves, brethren, have you given up on some things that used to be part and parcel of your everyday that you cannot go without them, such as your devotions and earnest praying, and they all become perfunctory, and you become too rooted in work? Beware. Merong tagpo doon sa original Titanic movie, hindi yung bago, hindi yung Leonardo DiCaprio, kundi yung mas original to that, ay merong tagpo na habang papalubog yung barko, ginamit ng isang tao na magnakaw. He looted. He took it as opportunity. But as the ship began to sink, this man who was full of loot drowned from the heaviness of it. He could not keep himself afloat. And that's what's happening to some professed believers sometimes when they get so rooted in business things, when it's covetousness that's directing them, They are becoming heavy with loot that's sinking them deeper, further away from God. And I'm asking you the challenge to decide on higher issues than possession. Or to put it another way, there are times when we should decide to have less of things just to have more of God. There are those decisions to make. May mga panahong ang kailangan nating desisyon ay mas kaunti na mga bagay kung kakailanganing mas marami akong panahon sa aking Diyos. And the gesture here of Abraham was that of a man who held to God's promise. Remember God's promise to Abraham even back in Ur when he was called? 12:2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this will be confirmed later in Genesis 15 in what is called the Abrahamic covenant. It was therefore to Abraham immaterial whether by Lot's decision he gets the right or by Lot's decision he gets the left. And we need men and women, brethren, who are like this in the church when it comes to the matter of giving. Decide not on possession. I have a very good example of this. We have a pastor now in Calawag, in the person of Pastor Romy Indaya. Well, because 3 or 4 years ago, he refused the call from Canada. I mean, Canada versus Calawag. I mean, it's no choice. No brainer as far as many are concerned. But our brother, thankfully, saw the ministry. He did not see the well-watered plains of Canada, but the need in Calawag. And people who love to share are those who do not count life in terms of possession. They can let go of their possession. And they will make decisions that may seem foolish to the covetous. You know, magkaiba yung sabihin natin, pera lang yan. Ang sa iba ay pera din yan. Eh sana dun tayo sa pera lang yan. Pwede nang i-give up kung ang usapin ay mga bagay ng Diyos. So, if we will share, it must be contrary to selfish possession. Secondly, and this might be more controversial for some, it will be consistent with tithing proportion. As I said, this is the first time that the word tithe or 10% is used in the Bible, and it is in the context of giving and in the context, I believe, of worship. And it is noteworthy that the first time tithing was used is not found in the Mosaic Law. Yan ang madalas nating marinig na argumento. Yung pagbibigay ng ikapo, yan ay sa batas lang ni Moises. Eh hindi, yung una itong mabanggit, wala pa ang batas ni Moises. Later, it will become a pillar in the Mosaic Law, but I believe that this is a principle for all. And I'll put it this way, tithing is the divinely designed measure of our sharing from our blessings. Ang pagbibigay ng ikapo ay ang ginawang ayos ng Diyos sa pagsukat ng ating pagbabahagi ng mga pagpapala ng Diyos. It's the divinely designed measure of our sharing from our blessings. Since this is the first time, it is logical to ask, where did Abraham get the idea of tithing? Well, I believe that where our time, our days, are by divine design apportioned by 7, substance is apportioned by 10. We naturally count by 10. We round numbers by 10. An anniversary of 10 is more special than that of 8, 9, or 13, and 14. We give special attention to tens as a matter of instinct. And in sharing, we see this instinct in Abraham to give his tithe. Later, sanctioned by the law, But here we find the importance of the person to whom the tithe was given, Melchizedek. Melchizedek is an enigmatic figure here, yet his priesthood is recognized and later, in fact, lifted up in Scripture in Psalm 110. Then the author of Hebrews in the New Testament will argue for the superiority of the priesthood of Christ that is better than Aaron. On what basis? Melchizedek. Kaya ang karakter na ito ay naging mahalaga. Now let me argue this way. If Abraham had the instinct of tithing to Melchizedek, how much more to one greater than Melchizedek? And life on earth is something that demands sharing. And we often ask, how much am I to share? And I believe from this and from other light of Scripture, the minimum sharing measure is the tithe. I'm not going to argue that fanatically for the simple reason that I believe in New Testament times, we are more blessed than the Old Testament. And I would not even say that our giving should just be the tithe. It should be more than the tithe. Yet, the point is, there is so much necessity out there that we are often confronted with the question, how much am I to share? And the divinely designed measure at the minimum is our tithing. We think, for example, of needs. The news often mentions that Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. It has needs, and it's good that nations are responding. But in our own circle, there are needs. In the church, as we have seen, there will be needs. And the challenge for us is to proportion our giving and sharing with the real gratitude of one blessed by God. Dapat nating gawing bahagda ng ating pagbabahagi ay yung pagpapasalamat natin sa pagpapala ng Diyos. As I've said, I will not be fanatical in my argument for tithing because I believe the real principle is proportion. It is a principle clearly understood in the Scripture. There are those who give in a way that is stingy and they are not blessed. We must practice it in the way we give. Many generations after the law of tithing was spelled out for Israel, we hear this scathing indictment from God against Israel. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now I say the principle remains. In proportion we must give, and now God may ask us or challenge us, have you given proportionately? Whether it's tithe or more than tithe, you know, I've often shared how the Lord has used A.W. Pink as a reformer at a time that very few stood for reforms. He was a lonely voice in the wilderness. And yet, of his many writings, he found the time to write about tithing, which means that he saw this as an important enough issue. So I return to you the challenge. Every Sunday, we have that part in our service where we say, let us give our tithes and offering. We do not check, and I do not intend to. But between you and God, will God have reason to say, you have robbed me? God forbid, because there is every reason for us to be proportionate with our sharing. Let our sharing be consistent with tithing proportion. And finally, let our sharing be confident in divine provision. Here is a stark contrast in Abraham's response to the king of Sodom. Yung una, king of Salem, si Melchizedek, agad siyang nagbigay ng kanyang tithe. And yet here is another king of Sodom, who was rescued, by the way. He was a beneficiary of Abraham's rescue. Abraham's intention was to rescue his nephew Lot. Pero, siyempre, sabit na rin siya, na-rescue rin siya. And yet, you find the surliness of his attitude. Sabi, balik mo sa akin yung mga tauhan ko at bibigyan kita ng gusto mo. There was no humility. And Abraham rejected that gesture. And he said, I will not make you have reason to say, you have made me rich. I will not rob God of his glory. And what is shown here is dependence on God's provision. Dependence on God's provision requires rejection of illicit means of gains. Kung tayo ay umaasa sa provision ng Diyos, ang pag-asa na yan ay mangangahulugan na tanggihan mo ang anumang maling kaparaanan ng pakinabang. You know, this can be a test of a person's character to reject what is personally gainful, if only for self-respect. That notoriety of the king of Sodom must have been obvious to Abraham, and he would have none of his money. He was a man of integrity, and behind the integrity is a man trustful of God's provisions. Without trust in God's provision, it would be difficult to resist the temptation of the devil's money. And without trust in God's provision, also it would be easy to keep to oneself rather than to share. And we need men and women who have conscience as far as integrity is concerned. I think of a man, for example, who is celebrating his birthday today, Muhammad Ali, born in 1942. He was heavyweight champion already in the 1960s and was to be drafted into the Vietnam War, except that he had a conscientious objection. He objected to the Vietnam War. But the military was making it a compulsion. He was still then Cassius Clay, and he refused. He was imprisoned. Imagine a heavyweight champion had to serve time in jail. And he chose it rather than serve in something that he conscientiously objected to. And as a result, for I think about 2 years, no fight. Yet, he retained his integrity. And upon release, fought again, won again, and considered one of the greatest of boxing champions. But the point is, he stood on his integrity. We need men and women who have that character to stand on integrity and reject even what is personally gainful if it is illicit. There's a lot of that, you know, in business. There's a lot of that in corruption, graft. We need men and women who are confident in God's provision, and when there is confidence in God's provision, oh, it is easy to give. It is easy to give in a way that shares. From out of God's provision, let there be much for others. And let there be much for the church. We see this in Paul's instruction to Timothy that he was to teach members of the church. And he used investors' language. He had spiritual profit in mind. When your provision is shared with others and with the church, you earn, Paul said, in terms of eternal life. Now, he's not saying you're buying your eternal life. He's saying that you're using your provisions in a way that thinks of eternity. And that's the best investment of one's money. We have seen this afternoon how the Lord provided for our church. We shared. We will continue to share. And we know this is only possible when you and I give. Let the year 2010 be a challenge to give. What sort of giving? Giving that shares. And it can only be done when we give with a consciousness that we have already received freely the best gift of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with a challenge. Do you have Christ as God's gift to humanity? You may have the enjoyment of many things in this world, but if you don't have Christ, you will lose all those things. And I challenge you to come to Christ and let our giving be conscious that we have received the best gift of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will give in a way that shares generously to the cause of God. Let us sing our last hymn, which reminds us of the fact that we are beneficiaries of God's daily goodness and how we have received from God the best gift of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my refuge in each deep distress, the Lord, my strength and glorious righteousness. Through floods and flames, He leads me safely on and daily makes His sovereign goodness known. Okay, let's close in prayer. O tunay nga, O Diyos, na malaking hamon ang gawain ng pagbibigay. Pagbibigay na hindi lamang ang mga labis, mga kalabisan ng aming tinatangkilik, kundi pagbibigay na tunay na nakikibahagi. At ang gayong pagbibigay ay magiging hamon sa amin, lalo't sa mga simulain ng iyong gawaing pangkaharian at pang-iglesia. Tulungan mo kami na maging handa sa bagay na ito, at upang mangyari ito ay magbigay kami na may kamalayan na tinanggap namin kay Hesukristo ang pinakamabuti, pinakamainam na kaloob mo para sa sangkatauhan. Pinapanalangin namin ang mga narito na wala pa kay Kristo o hindi pa tinanggap ang kaloob na iyon, na ibukas nila, buksan nila ang kanilang mga puso upang tanggapin ang mabuting kaloob ni Hesukristo na kaligtasan. And help us, Lord, to be such givers, having been recipients of such a mighty gift from you. And may our giving be one that shares. And if we will do so, help us to mortify any selfish possession on our part. May we not be like Lot, who only considered the well-watered plains without factoring in the wickedness of the place. And yet many times we are confronted with decisions that tempt us to make us conclusive factor, and for some even the only factor, that it is economic bounty. Father, help us to learn to decide above possessions, that there would be those times when we would even decide to have less of things so that we may have more of God. And grant, Lord, that if such decision making will be ours this year, that we would be mindful of what happened to Lot, how he has given up on spiritual things and how he has compromised the family and his own spiritual integrity because of covetousness. And grant, O Lord, that like Abraham, we would have that instinct in us to share with tithing proportion. And not just in terms of tithing, but proportion demands of us that we share even more, for we have more blessings. So grant, Lord, that we would learn to proportion our giving and sharing with the real gratitude of one blessed by God. And help us that we may share to have that confidence in divine provision. And that would lead us sometimes, like Abraham did, to reject illicit means of gains. Oh, Father, it can be a test of our character, but may we learn to reject what may be personally gainful if it is wrong, illicit, illegal, if only for self-respect, but more than self-respect, out of obedience to you and out of confidence that you will not deprive your people of their needs. That we can say with confidence, together with the psalmist, that I have been young, now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. So grant, O Lord, that we would have that confidence, and that confidence should lead to bountiful and generous sharing when we give. Help us, Lord, to do so as a church. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.